We expect a lot from nature, but it tends to come back to a few basic things. We want snow in the winter, sun in the summer, food growing on the land, and fish growing in the water. It's that last one we'll focus on now because it's a source of concern. The agency that sets up regulations for fishing seasons on the ocean is not looking toward the rest of the year with much optimism. Fish numbers are enough of a concern that the Pacific Fishery Management Council will likely recommend fairly tight restrictions on West Coast fishing this year. Mike Berner is the Deputy Director and Staff Officer at the Pacific Fishery Management Council and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
So this is not a small area your agency is responsible for. Would you give us a scope of what the council does?
Yeah, the Pacific Fishery Management Council is one of eight regional councils around the country. Our region covers marine waters from California, from the Mexican border up to the Canadian border, so California, Oregon, and Washington.
And it is a commercial and sport fishing you regulate?
Commercial, sport, and tribal fisheries are all considered.
Okay. A lot of moving parts here. I mean, do you manage for all fish species that are harvested in the Pacific?
Not all, but most. There are some fisheries that we relegate to state management for the most part, though. We have four fishery management plans that cover. One focuses on salmon. One focuses on what we call our groundfish complex, with lingcods, rockfishes. Another focuses on what we call highly migratory species, tunas, billfishes. And our fourth focus is on coastal pelagics, sardines, anchovies, and the like. So, yeah, quite a suite of species.
So what's the usual procedure? I mean, and give us an idea of whether the decisions are binding or advisory when made by the Pacific Fishery Management Council.
Yeah, well, the Pacific Fishery Management Council is a body that makes recommendations to the federal government. The council itself was created by an act of Congress, but the council itself nor its employees are actually federal employees. The sort of the notion here is the council is an open, transparent process that allows a lot of public input into the process of setting fishing regulations. So for salmon, our council is typically very busy from January through April. We have two large meetings, one we just held in March down in Sacramento, the second coming up in a week or so in Vancouver, Washington, where we sit down and look at the numbers and come up with three alternatives for fishing seasons. We get a lot of feedback from a variety of advisory groups we have. We have advisory groups that are made up primarily of fishermen and fishing interests, advisory groups that are made up of technical staffs from state and federal and tribal agencies that kind of crunch the numbers, if you will. And all those groups make recommendations to our council regarding what fishing seasons we might be looking at. And those alternatives go out for public review between our March and April meeting. And at our upcoming April meeting, the council will sit down, take all that input, look at the data, and make a recommendation on one fishing package that goes out for consideration by National Marine Fisheries Service through the Department of Commerce. And ultimately, they consider the council's recommendation and implement those regulations for marine waters in federal regulation, and the regulatory season starts May 1. So it's all kind of a compressed schedule, and we're right in the middle of it now.
That is pretty fast when you think about it. I mean, you're putting the numbers on the table essentially the second week of March, and then by May 1st it's all in place?
Yeah, it's somewhat the life cycle of the species itself. Salmon are relatively short-lived compared to something like a rockfish, and we have, and a lot of them return to the rivers in the falls and over the winter, and so it's a compressed schedule somewhat based on the species themselves. It's a quick turnaround to count up all those fish out on the streams, get the numbers together, run it through our models and get our predictions for forecasts, then sit down with the fishermen and the scientists and figure out what we can take and who's going to catch them, and you know, the fishing season tends to start April 1, and June and July and August are sort of the heavy fishing months. And so all those things make for a compressed process.
Now, how normal or not have the salmon fishing seasons been for the last several years? Give us a sense of what's come before.
The last few years, I would say, were pretty favorable in terms of fishing opportunity. There was a collapse of the Sacramento Fall Chinook in 2007, 8, 9. In that time frame, there was some pretty tough times, particularly for fisheries off of Oregon and California. In recent years, though, we saw a rebuilding of the Sacramento population. We've seen some pretty decent returns to the Klamath River. Those two stocks tend to be drivers in terms of shaping fisheries off Oregon and California. And so for the last few years, we've seen pretty decent opportunity out there.
What appears to be the suite of options available for the, or well, let me, even before I get to the options, let's talk about the general conditions you're finding so far.
Well, we're seeing a little bit of a downturn, I'd say, in our forecast, particularly for the Klamath Fall Chinook population. That forecast is roughly a third of what we forecast last year and down considerably from what we've seen the last few years. That stock is largely encountered by fisheries off of Oregon and California, both recreational and commercial fisheries. The forecast this year is low enough that our projections in the absence of fishing will be a challenge just to get enough fish back to the river to meet our spawning escapement goals. And so that leaves very little room for any harvestable surplus of Klamath Fall Chinook this year. And so that's probably the main concern in terms of fisheries and fishery reductions. A second stock that we're concerned about is California Sacramento Winter Run Chinook. That stock is listed under the Endangered Species Act and is not a target stock of the species of the fisheries, but is encountered as the fishery targets other stocks. The drought conditions have created conditions within the Sacramento River that have led to measured production of juvenile stocks that are very, very low. And so there's a lot of concern for that stock at the moment. That particular winter run stock is impacted in fisheries primarily in the San Francisco and Monterey areas, and so we see some pretty considerable restrictions in that part of the coast to protect winter run.
Which raises just a basic movement question. I mean, if you're talking about stocks from the Sacramento River or the Klamath River, they tend to stay like within a fan, it would seem like, of that river, or, I mean, how much mingling goes on between these stocks up and down the West Coast?
There is quite a bit of mingling, but each stock tends to have a somewhat predictable migration. Like I mentioned, the winter run, when they come out of the Golden Gate, they tend to stay fairly local, if not southerly from there. Klamath does tend to fan out, but generally doesn't get encountered north of the Columbia River, but can be found, you know, in fisheries from Oregon all the way down in through California. So most of the California Chinook stocks are sort of local migrating, we'd call them. Chinook stocks that come from the Oregon coast or out of the Columbia River or the Puget Sound, the further north, those tend to be what we call far north migrating stocks. They go up towards Alaska, and that's where they forage. And those stocks, we've noticed in the last few years, have been doing very well. So it's very important for a salmon where you go in the ocean. But there is a fair amount of mixing, and it's not totally unheard of to pick up a Sacramento fish way up off of BC, and it's not unheard of for a Columbia fish to turn south and get picked up somewhere off of Oregon or California, but those tend to be anomalies. Salmon do have their preferred foraging areas.
All right, Mike Berners, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Deputy Director and Staff Officer at the Pacific Fishery Management Council. We're talking about the prospects for the salmon seasons in the ocean this year. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back to underscore what you said about the Klamath Fall Chinook, that if even without fishing, the numbers would be lower than what you probably need to what you'd recommend anyway to keep the stock going, then it seems to indicate that would not be fished this year.
Yeah, we are in a situation where we do need to minimize our impacts to Klamath Fall Chinook. We are down in a portion of what we have a harvest control policy for most of our stocks. And when the forecasts are low enough, like they are with the Klamath Fall Chinook this year, we get down into a portion of our harvest control policy we call a de minimis zone, where we try to minimize impacts to Klamath Fall Chinook and maximize the amount that make it back to the river. The conservation objectives and the escapement goals we have try to meet a variety of objectives in our fishery management plan, and so there is sort of a balance or a trade-off, if you will, of allowing some impacts to Klamath Fall Chinook in the ocean as the fisheries pursue other harvestable stocks. So what I failed to mention earlier is the Sacramento Fall Chinook runs, although the forecasts aren't rosy, the forecast for that stock is moderate. And so there is opportunity in the ocean to access Sacramento Fall Chinook and not jeopardize the escapement of those stocks. And so there is a bit of a balancing game that the council plays between getting as many fish as we can back to rivers of concern while allowing some economic benefits and some opportunity for people to get out on the water and harvest runs of salmon that are relatively plentiful this year. And, you know, it's that balance the council works with and tries to find that sweet spot, if you will, where you provide some opportunity in the water and still get some fish back for future runs.
So with the Sacramento River Fall Chinook, that represents a rebound then, doesn't it? You mentioned that had collapsed a couple of years ago?
There was a collapse in 2008 and 2009. Essentially, fisheries were closed in Oregon and California. There was a rebound in 2010 through 14 or so. The last couple of years, the forecast for that stock has been in the 600,000-plus range. This year's forecast is a little down from that in the 300,000 range. So there are some concerns there with that kind of a decline. 300,000 Chinook for the Sacramento fall run, I wouldn't say is a robust forecast, but it's not one where we're abundantly concerned about that stock, and it's not one that's as low as the Klamath. And so, you know, we tend to talk in the mixed stock fisheries, as we call them, like you mentioned, of all the mixing that goes on with the salmon. There tends to be every year, there tends to be one stock that is doing better or worse than another. And the ones that tend to be doing worse, we call the constraining stock. And so right for this year, the forecast for Sacramento fall Chinook, although not rosy, isn't giving us as nearly as much concerns as we have for Klamath fall Chinook or for the winter Chinook. So, you know, the Klamath falls and the Sacramento winters are the constraining stocks this year.
There always is a constraining stock, that there are no years when everybody's just doing great.
Sure. Like in recent years, we've had opportunities where there hasn't been much of a constraining stock. I mean, other than our, you know, even when stocks are healthy, we still have control rules that dictate how much can be taken and how much goes into the rivers and how much are shared between marine and freshwater fisheries. And so there are ceilings, and there are, in California, there are other endangered species of coho and Chinook that we have caps to protect those as well. And so, you know, it's not that there's ever a year where it's just wide open, no concerns whatsoever, but the recent years we have had more robust fishing opportunities than we're looking at for this year.
Let's take a call. We have Steve and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mike Berner from the Pacific Fishery Management Council. Hi, Steve.
Howdy. It sounds like you guys deal mostly with ocean fishing and not river fishing. How closely, if that's the case, how closely do you work with the states to tweak their fishing seasons to protect these things going upriver?
Oh, yeah, they would, in fact, interlock. Good question for that, Steve. Thanks. Mike?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That's a great question. Well, we work very closely with the states. All three states have representation on the council itself, and they also have representation on the advisory groups I mentioned earlier. So we work very closely. You are correct. The council's jurisdiction is only for waters from 3 to 200 miles offshore. That said, we work very closely with the states for both the marine portion from 0 to 3 miles as well as fresh water. When I mentioned that we plan for escapement from ocean fisheries, that's not just escapement to the spawning grounds. We also consider freshwater needs of recreational fisheries in streams as well as in river tribal fisheries. And so we make a projection of what the ocean abundance is. We, based on the seasons that are put on the table, we try to make an estimate of effort and or removals, and then from there we try to figure out how many fish are heading back to the river. We work very closely with the commissions of the three states as well as tribal representation to make sure that those escapements to freshwater not only provide for some freshwater escapement for spawning, but also for some fishing opportunity. So there's representation on both sides, even though our jurisdiction is strictly of marine.
So what are you looking at in the way of suite of options for this year, and what the likely recommendations will be?
For recreational or for commercial fisheries?
Good, start with commercial and go to recreational.
Well, for commercial fisheries, the suite of options, the closer you get to the Klamath River, as a rule of thumb, the more the restrictions are in place. So the areas up off of Crescent City and Fort Bragg, where in recent years we've seen, particularly in Fort Bragg, we've seen some opportunity in June and July, which tends to be sort of the bread and butter of that commercial fishery in terms of catch. We've seen some considerable cutbacks in those areas largely to protect Klamath Fall Chinook. When you get above Point Arena in California, you really don't see very many encounters with Sacramento winter run, but the Fort Bragg fishery does rely pretty heavily on Klamath Fall Chinook as well as Sacramento Fall Chinook. But again, the closer you get to the Klamath River, the more encounters you're likely to have and the more restrictions you're likely to see. So in the commercial side of things, we have seen some cutbacks in the Fort Bragg. Up in the Klamath Management Zone, we call it, which is straddles the Oregon-California border. It's large, the ports of Crescent City and Eureka in California. That fishery, since it's right near the mouth of the Columbia River, is looking at some pretty tight restrictions, not any summer opportunity, just some small quota fisheries in September on the books at the moment.
You know, I haven't asked the obvious question, which is, how do you tell the stocks of fish apart? How do you tell a Klamath Fall Chinook apart from a Sacramento Fall Chinook?
Well, we historically, we've relied on what's called a coated wire tag, and it's a tiny little bit of wire that's inserted in the fish's head when it's a juvenile, when we primarily tag hatchery fish from these various basins. Those fish go out to sea, grow up, still have the little wire in their head. We typically cut a fin, an adipose fin, which doesn't harm the fish but makes it visibly obvious that this fish likely has some wire. And when people, when the samplers are out on the dock interviewing fishermen and checking their catch, if they collect the heads from the adults, which goes back, someone digs that little wire out, looks at it under a microscope and reads a code off of it, and that's how we can tell where it was released from. There are some new projects underway recently that are trying to get a little bit more sophisticated and use some genetic sampling to identify stocks, but when you're out at the sea fishing and you pull a fish up, you know, it's visually difficult, if not impossible, to tell what river that fish came from, but we do have tagging programs to help us understand where these fish migrate and what fisheries they're picked up in.
Mike, once the Pacific Council has made its recommendations and the seasons have been set up, is there any going back? I mean, is there any new information that might cause a change mid-year?
No, we rarely do that. There are a lot of things that can change, you know, how much catch is out there per effort. It's not always an increase or a decrease in abundance, and we tend to not go back and change our forecasts mid-season. That said, we have, particularly for quota fisheries, where we set a given number of fish to be caught in an area over a period of time, we do have a fairly intensive in-season management program where we watch the catch, get on the phone from time to time with the pertinent agencies involved, and make adjustments to the fisheries, either days open or daily landing limits, to either slow down or speed up the catch to make sure we stay within our quotas. So there is some in-season tinkering with the regulations, but that's mostly just to stay within our quotas. We tend not to do in-season adjustments to abundance expectations because there's just way too many moving parts, and we really don't know how well our forecasts are going to turn out until we see those fish back on the spawning grounds and in the hatcheries and have a chance to add up the catch over the winter.
And what are the dates of the meeting in April for making the decisions?
The April meeting starts April 9th in Vancouver and runs through the 14th. The council will adopt a final package for recommendation to National Marine Fisheries Service on April 12th. I'd also like to mention we have public hearings on the coast to take people's input on the alternatives. There's hearings in Coos Bay on the 28th and Fort Bragg on the 29th coming up next Monday and Tuesday.
Great. Mike Berner of Pacific Fishery Management Council, thank you so much.
Thank you.